Good morning. Everybody came in at once. I love it. We got a few things. Announcements. Okay, so June 8th, today's the 1st, so next Sunday is the 4-H band concert, weather permitting. And that's going to start at 1:30. After lunch, we're going to have the 4-H band concert in the back parking lot. And as far as parking, I know we talked a little about it last week, but I'll just remind you. So the front parking lot that's out here where Main Street is, that's going to be for handicap parking for people that have a hard time walking. And then there's also an empty lot behind the drive-thru on Main Street. And there's some parking at the side of Save-A-Lot, but also that garage that used to be a car repair shop, they're no longer there. So that's where I parked last year for the Hope Fest. So there is some parking there. So it may be a little bit of a walk, but we're going to use that front parking for handicap. And then they'll need some parking in the back too, I'm sure, to get their band equipment out. So we got a plan. June 11th at 3 is going to be the start of the Texas Roadhouse fundraiser for Champions. That is a lot of fun. So when you go to Texas Roadhouse, just make sure that you tell your wait staff that you're there for the Champions fundraiser, and a portion of your bill is going to be donated to Champions. They'll have door prizes there and raffle tickets that you'll be able to get. It's a lot of fun. So make sure you mark your calendars for that. And on June 12th, at 12:30, the Women of Faith are going to meet at the church for their mystery lunch. That's always fun. You don't know where you're going for those mystery lunches. One person's in charge and they get to pick. So they have a lot of faith in the one that's going to be picking, because you got to follow them and then you're surprised about where you're going to go for lunch. So that's fun. On June 28th is the Champions Hope Fest. I'm really looking forward to that. It's from 3 to 9. And we're going to have some local worship teams and a couple of speakers that are going to be there for Hope Fest. So I hope that you mark your calendar for that. That was an awesome, awesome time. And we're going to pray for good weather and just a lot of time for us to be together and fellowship with one another this month. Prayer requests. I know after service, we're going to pray over Rachel. She's got some disc surgery, some spinal surgery that is going to be coming up. So we're going to anoint Rachel and pray over her after the service this morning. Yes, Tina. Tina's aunt did get to go home. Tina is a very dedicated caregiver to her family, and she's been taking care of her aunt a lot. And so continue to pray for Tina and Tina's family, but especially her aunt, that she just continues to heal. And Sally Shaw, she's just been so sick. She is a steady and consistent, and she loves the Lord, and she loves being with us on Sundays, but she's been definitely feeling under the weather for a while. So please remember to pray for our Sally and Carol. I know she's home. I haven't had a chance to meet with her yet, but she's continued her healing. She is home now, but pray for Carol. We miss her. And I miss those little girls she brings, her granddaughters. They're just precious, and I'm sure they miss us too. So, and Marcia's here this morning. We're glad to have you back, ma'am. That was a long road. Long road to recovery, but we're glad that you're here. Continue to pray for Grant. He had surgery on Friday for his reconstructive foot surgery. And it's going to be probably, it was like that the last time, 3 months non-weight bearing. So, you know, and I told him, he was just worried about going back to work. And I said, Grant, you're going to be fine. I'm not pushing you out the door to get back to work. He's got to get his feet situation taken care of before we can even think about what his career. He wants to go be an electrician, but you know what? They're on their feet a lot. So We've got to get his feet good so he can finally walk without pain. He's been in a lot of pain since middle school. So it's been a long time, and hopefully this is going to get him where he needs to be. So pray for Grant. Pray for my dad. Pray for us. My dad's going to help me when I go to work to sit with Grant while I'm not there, while Grant is alone. So thank you so much. We love you guys so much. Yes. If you think we have a princess in the sanctuary, we almost do. Oakland, it's her birthday today. So she's asked if we could sing happy birthday to her. So we're going to do a real quick ditty for her, right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Thank you. Good job.
Hi.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Yes. Oh, Kathy Evans. Pray for Kathy Evans. She's not feeling well. Her sugar levels are elevated. It's not good for our girl. So pray for Kathy. Yes, Paula. Bonnie. Yes, absolutely. She has that wound vac on her leg that they had to operate on last week. So pray for her. Oh, Ralphie. Ralphie's birthday was yesterday. Oh, we love you, Ralphie. But Daniel was asking for special prayer for his friend that is battling alcoholism. So that was Daniel's prayer request. Yeah, Joan. Yes. Angie's kid's grandpa fell. So pray for him. Pray for Angie. She had elbow surgery. All right, let's go to the Lord. Let's prepare our hearts for this time of worship and praise together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you with this grateful heart, with expectant hearts, ready to lift your name up and give you praise because you are worthy. We acknowledge your presence already in this place, but we ask for it now even more. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the room, saturate every heart, every corner, every mind, and convict us, Lord, not to shame us, but to draw us closer to you. Show us the places in our hearts that have grown distant, have gotten disconnected, have gotten dry, and just stir it up like a fresh hunger of your truth. Inhabit our praise, Lord. Dwell in our worship. Let our songs rise up like incense before you in your throne of glory. And let your word pierce every layer within our heart. We lift you up in this place. Be with the praise band, Father, as they lead us into this time of worship and praise. We just thank you so much that they share their gifts, their time, and their talents with us each and every week. And anoint every hand that has worked within this church, Lord, to build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen, amen. And what is praise, church? Praise isn't quiet. It is not quiet. So we're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord this morning. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with the mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you give us all that we have, and you give to us the strength and courage to defeat the enemy, to go out and to speak boldly in your name, to bring others to Christ. But we know you'll give us the words when we need them, that you are by our side as we worship you, and we know that you nudge us to give gifts back to your kingdom here on earth. And so we ask you to bless these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Today's Communion Sunday. It's a time when we set aside to remember what Jesus Christ did for us, to remember his Last Supper with his disciples, where he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, and he took the cup that was never used and he picked it up and blessed it, and he shared it with his disciples and told them it was his blood. And then he was taken away and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, "Take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done." And then he was beaten and he was taken to trial and then asked to carry his cross to Golgotha. Why did he do that? For you and me. God's gift to us was eternal life with him in heaven. But what do we have to do first? We have to believe in him. Believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, and rose again on the third day. And because of that, we have eternal life, the promise of eternal life, if we believe in him. So today, as we prepare to take communion, when it gets to be that time, remember why we're taking it. Remember the sacrifice God gave of his son for our sins. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to lead us this week and this month and this year. Amen? "This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." Amen.
Amen. John 17, verses 20 to 26. Paul kind of led us into this, not knowing this morning, but we're going to be talking about Jesus's high priestly prayer before his crucifixion. And when I was reading this scripture text this week, and I felt this deep sense in my spirit that someone needs to know this morning, Jesus is praying for you. Right now and always, Jesus is praying for you. You are always on his mind. There isn't too many of us. You haven't strayed too far for Jesus to be thinking about you. And there's so many circumstances we face, heartaches, the struggles, spiritual attacks. And the enemy would love nothing more than to isolate us, doesn't he? That we think that we're all alone, the only ones going through what we're going through, to wear us down, to make us feel forgotten, to make us feel unspecial, to make us feel unwanted. But the truth is, Jesus is always, always interceding for you and for me. He never grows weary. He never grows tired. Robert Murray, he was a 19th century Scottish minister, said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. He is praying for me." So when we look at John 17, it says, starting in verse 20, "I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. May they all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they always be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one, and the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me wherever I am, so that they will see my glory, which you have given to me because you loved me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known you. However, I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them and will continue to make it known so that the love you have loved me with may be in them and I may be in them. And may God have a blessing on the reading of his word this morning. And this high priestly prayer of Jesus, this contains the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible. We know Jesus prayed continuously. He was always secluding himself away from the crowds, going away and praying. But we get this personal look, this deep, intimate look at what Jesus' prayer was on his way to the cross. I do not ask for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He wasn't talking about the disciples that were with him. He was talking about all of us. He was talking about you, because he knew that you were going to hear about the faith. He knew you were going to hear about his love, about his sacrifice through the generations, and that you would come to faith. Right before the cross, after sharing the first communion with his disciples, he prayed. In his final night on earth, before enduring the pain of Calvary, and still his thoughts were about you. That says a lot, doesn't it? And when you think about a friend who is preparing to die, there's so many important things that go through their mind, isn't there? So many things that they want to say to the people that they love. So many things that they want to recall. So many things that they want to reconcile. And Jesus says, I don't ask for these only, but I ask for those who will believe in me through them. He prayed for unity. He prayed for your protection. He prayed that you would be made holy in God's truth. He prayed that we would be one as he and the Father are one, so that the world would know that the gospel is true. And this prayer wasn't just for the moment. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore he is able, say that, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. You're never alone. The circumstances that you're in, the life that you're living right now, you are not alone. He is interceding for you. And what does that mean? That means that we have a great high priest who is Jesus Christ sitting in front of God the Father, and he's saying, Daddy, be with her. Be with her. Be with him, Lord. God, Father, Daddy, he needs you right now. He's crying out. I'm interceding for him. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for his strength. Go out to him, Daddy. When you stumble, when you're weak, when you feel lost, he leans over and says, Dad, this is one of mine. They know me. They cry out to me, Dad. It's a family affair. And it talks about the courtroom of heaven. I want my attorney to know the judge. In fact, I want them to have a good relationship. Because I work in court. I know what it's like to have an attorney not be on good terms with the judge. The judge gets a little irritated, and you don't want an irritated judge. So the best attorney that I can have is one that's close to the judge. And this is even better because they're Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. They've got this Trinity thing going on. And so he goes to the judge and he's like, Dad, they are mine and I am theirs. And I know them. They're walking with me. They're crying out to me. The Holy Spirit sealed them. They're ours, Dad. And Romans 8 says, Jesus, who died, and more than that, who has been raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. He's not dead. We have a lot of religions, don't we? A lot of things that other people believe. Jesus Christ is the only one who raised up out of that grave. He is the only one that ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. There's a difference. And that difference makes that we are never alone, that we are never forgotten, and that we always have someone praying for us. You are not orphaned. And that love that invites us in, look what love does. I love that. Look what love does. Father, I want those that you have given to me to be with me where I am, that the love you have for me may be in them. Because we've never seen God. Nobody has ever seen God. Moses got to see the back end of God as God was passing. But what this is saying is, and especially in John, he says that whoever lives in love, those that people are able to see God, because God is love. God manifests himself in the expression of love. And that's why when we say they will know we're Christians by our love, because that is God's essence. That's who he is. And this is tender, it's personal. At the heart of Jesus, he longs for closeness with us. It's a relationship that he longs for. Not only did he pay for our sin on the cross, he invites us into that relationship with him marked by love, unity, and belonging. Have you ever felt like a person standing on the outside of something? You know, you see stuff going on and you long to be part of it and you want to be in it, but something is holding you and you're just like an outsider looking in. And here's the thing, this isn't a trick. There's no hidden knowledge or hidden treasure. It's all right here. Now, do we have the capacity to know it all on this side of heaven? No, we do not. It says that. But one day when we are in glory, it says we will come to full knowledge. We will come to full knowledge. We will be able to see it all tied together. How it worked. Why it worked. All because of Jesus. And this is where communion becomes so central. Before Jesus prayed this prayer, he sat at the table with his disciples. He took the bread, he broke it, and he gave thanks for it. This is my body that is broken for you. This is my blood that is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. Communion is the visible reminder that Jesus gave himself completely so we could be with him forever, so we could be in relationship with him forever, and it starts right now. We don't have to wait till eternity until we're in front of him and in his face. It starts this side of heaven, that relationship. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. There's been so many times that he has interceded in my life. I had been praying for something, and he knew so much better than me. He knew so much better. And if there's any prayers that you want answered, is if he has something better for you. Amen? It is for this side of heaven. He died for us. He rose for us. And he prays for us. In Revelation 22, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life freely. Communion is that invitation. The Spirit is still saying, come, come receive grace. Come, be reminded of this love. Come, be strengthened for this journey. We come to the table of the Lord, not because we are worthy. Not because we are worthy, not because of the good things that we have done. Because no matter what, we will never, ever be able to make that mark. And I do, I try. And I'm a people pleaser. I'm recovering. If I'm real good, they're going to like me. If I'm real good, they're going to love me. I just got to keep showing and keep showing and keep pouring out and keep pouring out. God's not like that. We get filled with him. That's the only way that we're going to be able to give it up. Give God's love out is if we receive it. The broken vessels that Jesus puts us back together so that we can hold all that love that he has for us, because you can't give something away if you don't have it. That's what this table, we come and we receive. It's an invitation for us to come and receive, to remember Jesus, what he did and what he is doing and what he's going to do, because he's coming. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He whispers. He says, you're not good enough. You're not qualified. You're a failure. Look at all the things you've tried. And in Romans 8:33, it says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who can bring any charge? Who is your accuser? Remember Jesus saying that to the woman found in adultery? Woman, look up. Who is it that accuses you? And he says that to us. Who is it that accuses you? It is God who justifies. Jesus, our advocate, is stronger than every accusation the enemy makes against us. He defeated hell in the grave when he rose up out of that grave. There is no power. You know, it's a difference between a loaded gun and an unloaded gun, right? And someone comes up to you and they've got a loaded gun, there's a big difference. But when we know that that power has been taken away and his gun isn't loaded, hallelujah, Jesus took those bullets out. He may have that say, but he doesn't have the power or the authority over you. That's been taken away by Jesus Christ. Amen. And we do forget that, don't we? We do fall sometimes for that lie. And that's why it's so important that you just keep on coming to Jesus. You're standing on the truth. Our advocate is stronger than any accusation Jesus covers. And when Satan calls you guilty, Jesus says, oh, no, no. Oh, no, they have been justified through my righteousness. They've been covered in the blood, and they've been washed white as snow. They are not guilty because of what I did for them. Jesus prayed that we would be one, not for our comfort, but for our witness. Because when we talk about unity, like, it's not that everybody's the same. That's not unity. Unity is our witness, that the world may believe that you have sent me. Division is the enemy's playground. Flaming arrows of offense, division, distraction, those are his weapons. But unity, that's our defense. That's our shield. And like soldiers in battle, our strength is standing shoulder to shoulder, fighting the same enemy with one another. He himself is our peace, who was made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier of hostility and the dividing wall. Ephesians 2. That is Jesus. Jesus ends the story with a promise in Revelations 22. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And our response, amen. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen.
Amen. Come, Jesus, come.
Amen.
I love that song. We've been waiting for so long. Come, Jesus, come. Fix all this mess. Fix all this mess. And until he comes, we live as people who are prayed for. You are prayed for. You are advocated for. And we are unified in love. And we proclaim his death and resurrection at the table and live each day longing for his return. That's the table. There's a place for you. There's an invitation for you. He has a seat prepared. And that invitation's free. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to be the best in the class. You don't have to be the most pretty or the most handsome. Get all the attention. It's free. And all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he died on the cross and he resurrected from the grave. It's a free invitation. So let's pray. Let's prepare our hearts for this time. As we come, we accept that invitation. Lord Jesus, as we come to your table, we come with humility. We come with gratitude. I pray that we all have this sense of awe and reverence, that this is holy, not because of the bread or the cup, but because of what they represent. Your body broken for us. Your blood poured out for the forgiveness of our sin. That is holy. Search us. Search our hearts. If there's any unconfessed sin, any bitterness, any disunity, any pride, anything that stands between us and you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we lay it down, that we take this moment right now. We confess it to you. Clean our hearts. Cleanse our heart. We repent and ask for your mercy. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Help us to remember that this table is not about what we've done, it's about what you have done. We don't come because we're worthy. We come because you are gracious and you invite us not to be in judgment, but to be in love and relationship with you, to draw closer to you. And we receive the bread and the cup. Fill us anew with your Holy Spirit. May your presence strengthen us, unite us as one body, equip us to live as your people called by your name. We remember your sacrifice. We receive your grace. We see what you did, what you're doing, and we proclaim that you're coming again. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On the night that Jesus was crucified, he gathered his disciples and they went up into the upper room and he lifted the bread and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And you don't have to be a member of this church or any other church to be invited to the grace of God. That is free to anyone. And just like that, his grace is free to anyone. The table, his communion table, is free to anyone. You believe in Jesus Christ. You believe he died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins and that he rose up out of that grave. That's the only requirement to approach the table. And likewise, he raised the cup and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink and remember me." Remember the sacrifice. Amen. You're invited to the Lord's table. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for meeting us at the table. We thank you for the invitation that was free, that gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And as we receive this holy meal, let it nourish our souls. Let it strengthen us for this journey that we have, that we're on with you. And let this moment not end at this table, but let the grace we've received today overflow in our lives, into our homes, into our conversations, into our workplaces, into our world, that we leave this place transformed, our hearts on fire, ready to walk, ready to talk in your truth, to love, so that they know that we are yours and that you are ours. We remember and we rejoice, and we can go forward in hope. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we give you all the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And as you go from this place, may you go knowing that Jesus is praying for you. The love of the Father surrounds you. The grace of the Son covers you. And may the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. Go in unity, bound together by the blood of Christ. That you're going in peace, assured that your advocate is always interceding to his dad for you. And go in hope, proclaiming his death, his resurrection, and Lord Almighty, he is coming again. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Amen.